Hello, Disney fans, and welcome to the show. My name is Austin Terrace, and I'm joined here today by my two wonderful sisters, Kylie.
Hey, everybody.
And Emma.
Hi, everyone.
Coming up on this episode of Disney Daydream, face masks are now optional almost everywhere at Disney World. Details and pricing have been announced for Magic Kingdom's After Hours Boo Bash, and fireworks are returning to Magic Kingdom and Epcot on July 1st. Later on, we'll be joined by some special guests to play our tiebreaker winner-takes-all round of Disney Family Trivia, and we want you to play along. So, take a little break in your busy day, and let's start daydreaming. If you have been following our show for any period of time, you might know that the Terrace family Disney vacation is quickly approaching. We're recording this on Sunday, June 20th, and we will be departing our home for the Detroit airport at 5:10 in the morning on the 21st. So we're less than a day out. What is your level of excitement at the current moment?
I can hardly contain myself. Stoked.
Yeah. We're pretty excited. So this is going to be hopefully a very fun, upbeat episode. And you know what? If you are listening to us for the first time, thank you so much. We know that there are a lot of Disney podcasts out there, and thanks for giving us a try. But if you are an avid listener to the Disney Daydream podcast, you might kind of be wondering at this moment, what have you done with Austin? And the truth is, I'm actually speaking into a nice microphone, and it makes a world of a difference. So if you feel like you're hearing my voice for the first time, I actually have a nice piece of equipment now, thanks to our incredible patrons over at patreon.com. These are our super fans who make a monthly donation to support our show, and they help us pay for things like hosting websites, licensing fees for music, and of course, upgrades to our equipment like this. If you are interested in checking that out, if you really enjoy the show and you want to support us in a different way, you can head over to patreon.com/DisneyDaydream to just give our site a look. The cool thing is we offer our patrons nice perks for supporting our show, and we have some different tiers. And those tiers all have different price levels. Our first tier, we call Boarding the Magical Express. And when January hits, we're going to have to change that to Boarding Mirrors Connect. But that tier is just $3 a month. And if you join that tier, you're going to receive access to videos that we release before anybody else can see them. We are creating a YouTube channel for the show over our next Disney trip that is, like I mentioned before, happening tomorrow for 9 days in Disney. We're going to be recording some stuff. Travel vlogs, resort tours, room tours. And if you join our Patreon page, you're going to be the first ones to see those videos, along with some special videos that we are only releasing to our patrons from time to time. If you're interested in donating $5 a month to the show, we call that tier On the Monorail. And you get video access and access to a monthly mini episode that we create at the end of each month. Our third tier is called Through the Entrance Gates for $10 per month. You get everything that I listed below and also a personalized shout out on our podcast episode. And then for $15 a month, we call that tier Strolling Down Main Street. You get everything that I've currently mentioned, and we are going to send you a Disney Daydream coffee mug completely free of charge. And last, but certainly not least, all the way to the castle is our tier for 25 $10 a month. You get video access, monthly mini episode access, a shout out on the podcast episode. You get a free coffee mug, and you can select any Disney topic under the sun, and we will create an episode that is about that topic. So, Patreon, something cool to check out. Please consider giving that a look. Our show is sponsored by those incredible patrons. Again, thank you so much. And by Daydream Travel Agency. I created this travel agency, and I can help you book your next Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, or Aulani vacation. Using a travel agent does not increase your price at all. And it's just somebody else in your corner who can be on hold for you, who can look for discounts on your behalf, and you can have much more peace of mind when you're taking your next trip. So, with that being said, let's hop in to some news stories. Some of these news stories are pretty great. One of them in particular is cool, but also incredibly frustrating for reasons that we'll talk about pretty soon. But our very first news story is that Disney has decided to make face mask wearing optional unless you are on transportation, buses, ferries, Skyliner, that type of thing. So Disney's been closely monitoring COVID-19 infection rates and also the guidance from the CDC. And on June 15th, they officially made mask wearing optional for vaccinated guests at Walt Disney World. Now, of course, they still expect unvaccinated guests to wear their masks, but as you can imagine, policing that type of policy is impossible. So effectively, you can wear a mask if you want, but you don't have to unless you're on transportation. Disney will not be requiring guests to provide proof of vaccination either, so you don't have to worry about bringing that vaccination card with you when you travel down there. And our trip, like starting tomorrow, that's going to be the first time that I've been in a legitimately crowded area since like the pandemic started. Like, I guess I've been to a couple gatherings where maybe there have been like 50, 100 people. But in terms of being in a crowd of thousands of people, this is going to be like that first moment for me. So it might be a little strange at first, but I'm very happy that the march towards normalcy is happening faster than I personally expected after dealing with this for so long. So the last episode, we actually predicted this. I mentioned that I would not be surprised at all if Disney updated their mask wearing policy again. And let me tell you, I think more changes are on the way. My next prediction is that we're going to find out something new about FastPass Plus pretty soon. Do I think that it's going to return in the exact same way as before? Everybody gets 3 per day. You reserve it in advance. I don't think that's going to happen. There are rumors out there. I actually do kind of believe that they might go to sort of a Max Pass Disneyland situation where that is an additional charge if you want to be able to reserve fast passes. But I actually have a different idea for Disney, and I think that they should consider doing this. Like, think about all of the different perks that have been eliminated for staying on property recently. We've mentioned this on the show, but the phasing out of Magical Express, still no word about the dining plan. I think that Disney can kind of get away with all of those changes if they grant FastPass Plus access to people who stay on property. I think they'll be able to do away with anything else, and people will be so interested in clamoring to get those FastPasses, especially when the park eventually reaches 100% capacity again, that I think that's the only perk that Disney really needs to provide. I don't know what you guys think about that, but also, you know, you have to think about extra magic hours disappearing, and that was replaced with something that you could literally do for decades called rope dropping, and they tried to call it some fancy other name that I don't even remember, but extra magic hours are pretty much gone. But I was just interested. So do you guys have any thoughts about the new mask policy or about my new FastPass Plus prediction?
very happy that we're not going to have to wear masks, especially just coming up into the Florida heat. I can imagine that potentially wearing a mask and the 95 degree days could get pretty dangerous for some people. So I'm glad that those are no longer a thing. And like you said, we're continuing that march back to normalcy. So that's great. I do see FastPass changing, like you said. Honestly, I was mad hearing about the potential MaxPass thing. But then as I started to think about it, if less people have access to FastPass, that's going to make standby waits shorter for everybody in the long run. Because, you know, usually the standby waits are longer because they have to let the FastPass line through first. I just wonder if they do a paid FastPass system and how many people are going to be okay with paying that extra fee when you're already paying a ton to be in the parks, and then what that will do for wait times. But I do like that idea. I hadn't considered something like that with offering it to resort guests only.
For free.
That would be a great perk.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to just limit it to resort guests, because I think if they can make money from it, then they're going to.
Yeah.
But I think that the smart thing to push people to stay on property is to make that a perk, and you get it for free, just like always, if you stay on property. But what are your thoughts, Emma?
Yeah, about the FastPass stuff, I definitely agree. They need to give an incentive to make people stay on property because it's expensive. And if there aren't enough perks to outweigh the cost, like, people are just going to stop staying on property. With masks, I'm very excited. And I, even though there will be a lot of people around, I still feel pretty safe. Like, our whole family's vaccinated. So I don't know. We haven't really gone anywhere that has like everyone without masks as a family. Like I went to prom and no one was wearing masks. I did, but yeah, so I'm just excited to be out somewhere relatively normally. And yeah, I'm very happy we don't have to wear masks because I don't handle heat well. So
yeah, I was worried about that too. And just if you're tuning in for the first time, we live around the Ann Arbor, Michigan area, kind of just south of Detroit. And we don't take Disney trips that often. We're not the podcast of Orlando locals that goes 30 times a year. We're usually able to take a trip every 2 or 3 years. We haven't been since the pandemic started. Our last trip was 2018. So a lot of our excitement comes from knowing that we're going to be going back, not having to worry too much about the mask and social distancing stuff. And also, it'll be our first time experiencing Galaxy's Edge and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So we have a lot that we're kind of looking forward to. But let's head on to our second news story. New plans have arisen for Disney's celebration of Halloween this year, and Kylie's going to give us some details about that.
Yes. So in the past, the Halloween celebration at Magic Kingdom has been called Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. But Disney is introducing a new after hours event called Boo Bash this year. So this event will take place on select nights between August 10th and October 31st. And it will feature Halloween themed cavalcades, different character sightings throughout the parks, including Maleficent in her dragon form, which sounds pretty cool. And performances by the Cadaver Dance. Obviously, there will also be Halloween themed decor, lighting, and some treats in the different shops as well. One of the decor things that I thought sounded really cool was there are going to be pumpkin coach decorations on Cinderella's castle to add to the new iridescent castle. So that should be really pretty. And then with
The castle, though, just seeing the castle is something that I'm so excited about. It looks really beautiful right now.
Mm-hmm. With these tickets, you can get into the parks starting at 7 p.m. and if you have a ticket, you do not need a park pass reservation or a different ticket, like an actual ticket to get in. Like, this is your ticket. But if you do want to spend the whole day leading up to the event in the park, then obviously you will need that ticket and the park pass. But if you're just going to the event, you can get into the park at 7 p.m. Guests can wear costumes, but note that adults are not allowed to wear costume masks, only kids. I think the cutoff age is 14 or something like that. So just be mindful about your costume if you choose to wear one. Tickets are on sale now, and the prices are ranging from $129 to $199, depending on which night you are wanting to go. The event is filling up really fast. They released the original dates and then quickly released 5 more dates to accommodate the demand. So I would recommend not waiting until September to get your tickets for this, because they won't be there.
Get them as soon as you can. And this is prime reason number one why you want to use a travel agent, because the day that these tickets were released, Disney does this ridiculous thing where you have to call in. You can't book them online. You have to call this freaking number. And some agents I knew were just on hold for 7 hours. Some didn't get through because they closed the queue. You're just on hold literally all day.
Someone finally got through and they were like, we're done selling tickets for the day. You'll have to call back tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely unbelievable. So please don't waste your time doing that. I mean, using travel agent is free, and let them do it for you. Like, don't make it really frustrating for yourself, because that's going to ruin the experience, especially because the prices for this event are kind of outrageous, in my opinion.
Yeah, and note that for the first part of the event, the nights will go till 12:30. And then the second, you know, the later half of the event, they'll start ending at 12 midnight. So it's not that long. I mean, it's limited guests, so your wait times are going to be a lot shorter. You'll get through a lot more rides than you would throughout the day. But
$129 to $199 per person, depending on the day. That's just wild. I really should have brought up the not-so-scary prices, but I thought the highest prices for those were around $130. And now, that's the minimum for this new party.
Yeah.
Which is really, really kind of crazy. And I think that they just decided to call it Boo Bash because they couldn't offer the trick-or-treating and they couldn't offer the full show or the fireworks to go along with it. I'm hoping that changes. And that kind of leads into Emma's story. So, Emma, why don't you cover this next story for us?
All right. So, some very, very exciting news. Fireworks are finally returning to Disney World on July 1st. So, again, this is so, so exciting, but incredibly unfortunate for us, because we are literally going to miss the fireworks by 2 days.
Saddest news of my life.
Date came out and my heart sunk a little bit. We were leaving on the 29th, fireworks coming back on the 1st. Ouch.
So sad.
We were gonna extend our stay.
We honestly thought about it. We were like, okay, is there a room at Pop Century open? Yeah, are there any park passes available for Magic Kingdom on the 1st? And no.
Yeah, but anyway, Happily Ever After will be coming back to Magic Kingdom to transform Cinderella Castle with lights, projections, and pyrotechnics. The last time Happily Ever After was performed was March 15th of 2020, so it has been well over a year.
We are holding out hope, though, and we can hopefully maybe vlog some of this if it happens. We're staying on the Magic Kingdom, in the Magic Kingdom Resort area, for the second half of our stay. So we're hoping they might be doing some testing late at night, and we might catch a glimpse of some fireworks off in the distance. We'll see.
We'll just pull an all-nighter every night and
we'll have people on watch. We'll bring the binoculars for like 4 hours at a time.
Our mom likes bird watching, so we have binoculars and okay, and then Epcot Forever is coming to Epcot. And that will produce a spectacle of fireworks, music, and lighting effects over the World Showcase Lagoon. The show highlights themes of innovation, exploration, imagination, and celebration at the core of the park's past, present, and future. Epcot Forever will eventually be replaced by Harmonious, which is a new nighttime show that was originally set to debut in 2020, and it's now supposed to premiere as part of the 50th anniversary.
That's a cool addition. I'm glad that more is coming out about the 50th rather than it just being Ratatouille,
yeah.
That is a finished attraction that they're just holding on to, and they're going to release on October 1st.
That's
glad
quite
that we'll get
a sore spot.
Yeah, I'm glad we'll get a new nighttime spectacular. And I've heard rumors that that's also going to be finally Space 220's opening date as well.
Oh my
Good.
Gosh!
So, a lot of things coming.
That has to be the most delayed, one of the most delayed projects of all time.
Yeah, right. I mean, early, we're talking about.
It was originally supposed to be winter of 2019.
Yes, right. Towards the end of 2019. So almost a full 2 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had some drama about, like, the head chef, I don't know, leaving or something like that. I feel like they're going to make a story or a documentary about that restaurant's production one day and all the drama that happened. But going back to linking this with Boo Bash, I'm hoping that they create some type of fireworks and some type of show to go along with that. Even though it wasn't listed in what will be offered, I think that's definitely the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And whether or not this was like a financial decision, like we're trying to up capacity, so we want to bring the fireworks back to get more money because people will want to come to the parks, or not, whether it's just something that they wanted to bring back, I don't care. I'm happy that they are bringing these back before the 50th anniversary, because that was my other prediction from last episode that didn't end up aging very well. I thought they were just going to push it back until October 1st because they didn't really have a need to bring it back. So it's nice to see that a lot of people care about it.
Oh, yeah. I've talked to a lot of people that have said we won't even consider going back until the fireworks are back. And I don't blame them. I mean, that's a huge part of the Disney experience. Ending your day with the nighttime spectaculars, that's like...
Totally agree. Yeah.
A huge part of it.
Yeah, for sure.
With no discount on your tickets, when such a big part of your experience is not going to be there, then I do understand that. So that does it for our news stories for today. If you are just listening for the first time, one thing that we like to do sometimes is play a round of Disney family trivia. So we're going to be joined by a couple of special guests. One of our teams won the first round that we played many, many months ago, and then the other team won our more recent round. So we need to settle this once and for all with a tiebreaker. The final winner-takes-all round of Disney Family Trivia, which you can play along with us, is coming right up. Welcome to our tiebreaker round of Disney Family Trivia. Round three, winner takes all. And if you win today, you get bragging rights for our entire Disney trip. So that's a pretty good prize.
Oh, yeah.
Offer anything monetarily, but,
you know. The prize is pride.
Yes. Pride is what counts. So let's give a nice hello to Mom Terrace. Hello, Mom Terrace. How are you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm excited for our Disney trip.
Thank you. Us too. Thanks for rejoining us. Dad Terrace, hello. Say hi to our listeners out there.
Hi, everybody.
In terms of confidence today, we have Emma and Dad teamed up with each other, and Kylie and Mom teamed up with each other. Emma and Dad Terrace, how are you feeling?
Great. Dream team.
Dream team.
Dream team right here.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Fist bump. We fist bumped.
1 to 10 confidence, Kylie and Mom. Where are you at right now?
12.
Oh, we didn't give a number.
12, okay.
13.
15.
All right.
said.
All right, well, we'll see who can talk the talk and also walk the walk. We're playing this round a little bit differently today. I've come up with some different question categories. I want to, before we even begin, give a shout out to the Trivial Warfare podcast, a great trivia podcast, not Disney related necessarily, but they have really cool question types, and I got one of the rounds in the later part of the game from that show, so if you enjoy trivia, check that out. Okay, so for round one, this is a free response round. Our teams already had 10 minutes to answer a set of 10 questions and then one bonus question at the end. These questions are going to be worth 1 point each, and we'll give you some time to answer if you're playing along at home. So let's get started here. Before I ask the first question, let's get the team names. So Dad, Terrace, and Emma, what did you decide on for your team name?
Can they go first?
Oh, no.
Okay, Kylie and Mom, Terrace.
We're the Disney All-Stars.
The Disney All-Stars, what a fabulous set of resorts.
Yes, okay. We are the Disney Pop Century.
Slightly higher priced than the All-Stars. We'll see if that translates from money to points very soon. All right, and with that all out of the way, let's go ahead and get to these questions. Round one, question one. What Walt Disney Company subsidiary, created in 2005, provides group-guided family vacations to various domestic and international destinations? What Walt Disney Company subsidiary, created in 2005, provides group-guided family vacations to various domestic and international destinations? If you hear some scampering about, we have our favorite dog Moses joining us again, and also Theo and Lucy, some other dogs, so a house full of animals today. Classic. Let's go ahead and start with Dad, Terrace, and Emma. The Pop Centuries, what did you say?
We said Adventures by Disney.
Kylie and Mom, Terrace, your answer?
We also said Adventures by Disney.
Absolutely correct. Created in 2005, Adventures by Disney, providing luxury group travel services ever since then. And if you're ever interested in paying an arm and a leg, reach out to me. I'd love to book that for somebody. Question two. Name the actress who plays the Baroness in Disney's recently released Cruella movie. Name the actress who plays the Baroness in Disney's recently released Cruella movie. Might I add, this was a fabulous performance. Let's go over to Mom, Terrace, and Kylie first. What did you say, the All-Stars?
Emma Thompson.
Dad, Terrace, and Emma, your answer?
We said the same, Emma Thompson.
That is a point for both teams. Emma Thompson, she played the Baroness, the villain-type character in that movie. Go see it if you haven't yet. It was pretty cool. Question number three. Lady Cluck, Sir Hiss, and the Sheriff of Nottingham are all characters from what Disney animated movie? Lady Cluck, Sir Hiss, and the Sheriff of Nottingham are all characters from what Disney animated movie? We'll start this time with the Pop Centuries.
My favorite, Robin Hood.
And the All-Stars, your answer?
Robin Hood.
And we are tied 3-3. That is a point for each team. Indeed, that is from Robin Hood, all those characters. Been a while since I've seen that one. Might be a good idea to watch Robin Hood again sometime soon. Question number four. Name the two Disney resort hotels that share a similar name and are located on opposite sides of the country. Name the two Disney resort hotels that share a similar name and are located on opposite sides of the country. That definitely being your most important clue at the end there, because if you told me Port Orleans, Riverside, and French Quarter, you're going to be wrong. Let's go to the All-Stars.
We said the Grand Floridian and the Grand Californian. Fornian? Is that how you pronounce
Grand
it?
Grand Californian. Yeah. Okay. Fornian. Yeah. And the Pop Centuries, what'd you say?
Well, we said the other way. We said the Grand Californian and Grand Californian and the Grand Floridian.
They're tongue twisters.
We actually didn't even say it the other way. We said it the same way.
Besides the mispronunciations, that's exactly correct. Those are the two I was looking for. All right, 4-4. Tight game so far. Question number 5. Horizons, a dark ride that operated from 1983 to 1999, was located in which Disney World theme park? Horizons, a dark ride that operated from 1983 to 1999, was located in which Disney World theme park? You checked out one of my mini episodes. I did a whole thing about some of the most popular attractions at Disney that have kind of disappeared over the years, and this is definitely at the top of the list. So the Pop Centuries, where was Horizons?
Epcot.
All Stars, what was your answer?
Epcot.
And again, we are tied 5-5. That is absolutely correct.
Did Soarin' replace that, Austin?
No.
No, that's a different pavilion.
The Guardians of the Galaxy coaster is going there. It's not complete yet.
People are still kind of upset that that has disappeared. Looked like a really cool ride. Kind of Spaceship Earth-like, but better.
Oh, I'm sorry. Isn't that the Play Pavilion? That's going to be the Play now? Pavilion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that closed down way before.
Yeah, not the Guardians coaster. My bad.
Yeah. Question number 6. Here we go. Name the talk show host who starred in the attraction located inside of Epcot's Universe of Energy Pavilion, alongside Bill Nye, Alex Trebek, and Jamie Lee Curtis. Name the talk show host who starred in the attraction located inside the Universe of Energy Pavilion, alongside Bill Nye, Alex Trebek, and Jamie Lee Curtis. The All-Stars, we're going to hear from you first on this one. What did you say?
Ellen DeGeneres.
Let's go to the Pop Centuries. What was your answer?
Well, I convinced Emma to change it to Larry King, so...
Yeah, I knew it was Ellen, but...
Yeah, I have to say, I did get to witness that conversation that was had there. I was really sad that they went away from Ellen. Emma, you probably should have pushed a little harder for that one.
I know.
And Dad, Larry King being the host of a Disney attraction, I cannot imagine that but that was Ellen's Energy Adventure.
That's going to be the Guardians coaster.
Yes. Yep. Okay. You thought that, for sure a Disney trivia quiz, we wouldn't be doing any math, but we are. Just simple addition, though, and subtraction. Here we go. Math. Do the number of Toy Story movies plus the number of The Incredibles movies minus the number of Aladdin movies. Number of Toy Story movies plus the number of The Incredibles movies minus the number of Aladdin movies. We're going to hear from the Pop Centuries first. Emma and Dad Terrace, what was your final answer?
Our final answer is 3. Wink.
Wink?
Wink Martindale.
Oh.
Okay.
That's how you used to do it. We said 3.
That's a deep cut pop culture joke right there. Nice. And the All Stars, what was your final answer?
10. What?
2.
What?
Oof.
Oh my gosh.
It's written as 2.
It is written as 2.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yes. I was adding.
No, well, read the answer. 4 plus and then minus.
I don't do math.
Ouch.
We have 2 on the paper.
This is a really embarrassing moment.
Mom went rogue just now.
I am leaving this moment as is. I will not be editing this moment at all. Mom is not the math person in the family. So we have an answer of 2 and an answer of 3. One of those is correct. Here is the equation going number by number. There were 4 Toy Story movies. Think everybody got that. There were 2 Incredibles movies. Pretty sure everybody got that. The real kicker here How many Aladdin movies have there been? And indeed, I said the number of Aladdin movies. I didn't specify just animated or live action because there was the remake.
Thanks to me, I remember.
There were four total. Three animated. Yes, in one live action. Of course, here the live action does count.
Yeah, that we is didn't an Aladdin even movie. Think of that.
That's the one I thought of. You thought of the three animated, yeah. And I thought of the live action. That was
some I also Broadway? Thought of.
That's not a movie.
Oh. Yeah, so the point there goes to the All-Stars. The correct answer there was two. Tough question. After seven questions, the total score, 7 points for the All-Stars and 5 points currently for the Pop Centuries. It's still very early in this game. Anything could happen. Question number eight. Name the attraction that operated in Magic Kingdom's Fantasyland from 1971 to 1998 and was replaced by the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Name the attraction that operated in Magic Kingdom's Fantasyland from 1971 to 1998 and was replaced by the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Let's hear from the All-Stars. What was the attraction name?
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
And the Pop Centuries, what did you come up with?
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, we didn't know this one. In my defense, I wasn't alive.
Well, I was one.
Well.
All right. Yes.
See, Mom went to Disney a few more times when she was younger than I did. So
I couldn't remember this ride.
Oh, you got that? Yeah. Oh, good for you. Yeah, no, I didn't remember. But yeah, now that you said
remembering that attraction is still in Disneyland is kind of the way to go for this one. It is indeed Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, so we have a score of 8-5. Wow. Kylie and Mom Terrace are in the lead. Question 9. Four Walt Disney World resorts have the word club or lodge in their title. Name these resorts. Four Walt Disney World resorts have the word lodge or club in their title. Name these resorts. Feeling confident about this one? Hope everybody else is feeling good too. We will be staying at one of these, so I'm hoping we get that one. Let's go over to the Pop Centuries to answer first this time.
All right. So we have Animal Kingdom Lodge, Wilderness Lodge, Yacht Club, and Beach Club.
I am kind of assuming that the All-Stars had the same four. Is that true?
Yes.
And that is a point for every team. Score right now is 9-6. We have the All-Stars in the lead. Question 10. Disney Cruise Line's newest ship, the Disney Wish, will include how many staterooms? This one will work. The closest answer is going to get the point unless a team is exactly on the money and they give the exact answer, they will get 2 points. How many staterooms will Disney's newest ship, the Disney Wish, contain? Let's go to the All-Stars first. What was your stateroom number?
We said 1,253.
And let's head to the Pop Centuries. What was your guess?
Half of that. No, yeah. We said 527.
All right, that was stressed. A little low. Stressed. Oh, that number you were thinking in your head, Kylie, was just so close. It's 1,254.
I almost wrote that. I literally almost wrote that.
Gosh, oh, wearing headphones. That's so 1,000?
Holy smokes.
Yes, 1,254 staterooms. Okay. So that means the All-Stars will take that point. So close to being right on the money. I put that question in there solely to put the pressure on Kylie and Emma because that was our most recent...
We literally just filmed that.
That was our most recent podcast episode, and we definitely talked about that exact number on the episode. So if you heard that episode and you got this one exactly correct, kudos to you. Nice job. Let's head to our bonus question, the end of round one. This question is potentially worth 3 points, 1 point for each correct answer. Prolific voice actor Jim Cummings has appeared in almost 400 roles in his 35-year career. Name 3 Disney movies he has participated in. You'll receive 1 point for each correct answer. Prolific voice actor Jim Cummings has appeared in over 400 roles over his 35-year career. Name 3 Disney movies he's been involved in. Again, just looking for the title of the Disney movie, not the specific role that he played. The idea here is he's done so many things, even if you don't know who he is and you were just throwing darts, you might get one of these correct. So we'll see. Let's go ahead and go with the pop centuries first. What was your list of 3 movies?
Well, now that you say it, it's pretty bad. So we said Toy Story, Beauty and the Beast, and Alice in Wonderland.
And the All-Stars, what was your list of 3?
We said The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, Alice in Wonderland, and Fox and the Hound.
All right, I'm looking through this extremely long list to tally up the points. I'll say any correct answers when I see them. So Jim Cummings, well, he's still performing, basically. So Alice in Wonderland, that's too early. But Toy Story is correct.
Yes.
And he's probably most famous for being in every Winnie the Pooh movie as Tigger.
Yeah.
Or at least the Winnie the Pooh movies created in the last 30 years. So Winnie the Pooh, that is correct. I am checking Fox and the Hound because that might very well be on here.
No, it's too early then.
No, Fox and the Hound isn't really that old. No, I think he's the woodpecker.
What, you already had that search in your phone. Okay.
No,
you
I just
used it earlier.
I just pulled it up.
No, she got Alice in Wonderland wrong, so.
I was picturing the wrong guy.
So did we.
A Goofy movie? We just watched that.
Yeah, are you trying to confirm, Kylie? Because he is famous for taking over a lot of roles, and I'm seeing The Fox and the Hound too. But not the original. And I'm seeing every Lion King except the first Lion King. But Jim Cummings is actually famous for recording just the ending part of Be Prepared, because Jeremy Irons as Scar, his voice was giving out when he was recording that song. And Jim Cummings is so adept at like mimicking other people that he recorded the end of the song, which is pretty cool.
He wasn't in the first one.
Yeah, so that's going to end up being 1 point for each team. I'm sorry, I was checking Beauty and the Beast 2, and he's been in every sequel to Beauty and the Beast, but not the original.
Wow, okay.
Some other ones that you should be aware of, because he's done so much, all of the Aladdin movies, like Emma mentioned, both of the Goofy movies, he's the voice of Pete, so he's been doing Pete for quite a while. Pocahontas, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Hercules, we mentioned all the Pooh movies, the Tarzan movies, Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas.
I should have just named all the Pooh movies because I knew he was Tigger.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have done that.
That would have been a good idea.
Wreck-It Ralph, but also he was the voice of Ray in The Princess and the Frog. So that's another good one to know.
Cute.
All right, at the end of the first round,
wow,
the All-Stars picked up 11 points. It is definitely not over yet, believe me. The pop centuries have 7. It is 11-7. We are moving into a new round that we have not done before. I'm calling this round Round Robin because we will not be consulting with each other. We're going to go person by person, and you're each going to give me one answer at a time. Before me, I have a list of 10 Disney movies. The 10 Disney movies that won Best Original Score at the Oscars. Your team will earn 1 point for each movie you can name that is on the list. You'll have to answer individually, like I mentioned, without consulting your team, and we'll go back and forth between the teams. It's going to be a 2 strikes and you're out policy, so if you give me 2 incorrect answers, then you won't be able to answer again. And we'll go until everybody strikes out or we have all of the movies named. So 1 point for each correct movie. All of these that are on this list were Disney property at the time they were released, which I'm basically saying don't answer Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because although that won, that doesn't count. Right now, we're going to start this round robin with Emma. So Emma, go ahead and give me the first Disney movie that you think won Best Original Score.
Yeah, I can just say any of them, right?
Any of them.
Okay. Let's see. Soul.
Absolutely. Soul was our winner in 2021 at the Oscars. That did win Best Original Score. So we got a point for the Pop Centuries. Kylie, you're up next.
The Lion King.
Absolutely correct. We've named two here, Soul and The Lion King. All right, throwing it over to Dad Terrace for the next guess.
Tarzan?
That will be one strike for you, Dad, unfortunately. Oh. Tarzan did not win Best Original Score. Mom Terrace, go ahead.
Beauty and the Beast.
That is absolutely correct. Yep, 1 point for the All-Stars. So after our first round of four people, we've crossed three of these movies off of the list. Back over to Emma. What's your next guess?
Frozen?
Unfortunately, no. Frozen is not up there. So that is one strike. Kylie.
The Little Mermaid.
Very good. Yes, The Little Mermaid is up there. That's a point for the All-Stars. Dad.
Disney properties. Let's go with... how about we say maybe Frozen 2?
No.
Dad's out.
Oh, shoot. I'm out.
That's two strikes there. Mom Terrace, your next guess.
Did you specify what between what years?
I did not.
You did not. Okay.
No. I will say you can pretty much consider the entire gamut of Disney release films, because original score has been in existence. It's been called something different, but it's been in existence since a very long time ago.
Well, I'm going to go with Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Good guess.
I was going to say that.
Correct. Mary Poppins is up there. 1964. That was the winner. All right. Back around to Emma next. Emma is playing with one strike, and I'll keep dropping more hints. The earliest Disney movie that won Best Original Score was in 1940. Use that information if you like. Ignore it if that confuses you.
Oh, gosh. I don't know when movies came out. I thought I'd be good at this. this is probably wrong. Tangled?
No, Tangled did not win Best Original Score. That's two for Emma. Kylie?
Cinderella.
Nope. Not a Best Score winner. There's one strike. Mom, you're up next.
I'm stumped. Could it be Sleeping Beauty?
Good guess. Nope, that one is not on there. So one more strike for each of you, Kylie.
Man, 1940?
Well, I'm going to take a shot in the dark. Hercules.
That did not actually win Best Original Score, so that's it for you. All right, Mom. Possibly your last guess here. We still have five movies up on here.
Can you name the ones that we've said so far?
I thought
Lion King.
I thought you were going to say name the ones we haven't said. We've
mentioned Mary Poppins, The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, The Lion King, and Soul.
And they can't be Pixar, right?
It can be Pixar.
Oh, it can be Disney Pixar, yeah.
Disney Pixar, okay. Toy Story?
No. Nope, so the five that we missed, the earliest one was Pinocchio, 1940.
Really? You almost said that.
The next year, Dumbo won in 1941.
Oh.
Then in 1992, Aladdin. Okay. In 1995, Pocahontas. And the last one we missed, which we really should have grabbed this one, was Up in 2009.
I was going to say Up, and then I switched it for Hercules. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they actually changed the format of this award after the Disney Renaissance, when it won in 89, 91, 92, 94, and 95, because they thought the award was just like giving it to the most high-profile songwriters instead of film composers. And that's why since then, you've only seen the orchestral scores like Soul and Up win, because the other Disney things can win Best Original Song. But they like to award the more orchestral things for score now. All right, after our round robin, the score is 15-8. The All-Stars are in the lead, but lots of points still left. We are in rapid fire. Your name is your buzzer. Each question's worth 2 points. If you get it correct, you get those points. If you get it wrong, the other team has a chance to collaborate and steal. Our first category in the rapid fire round, I call Name That Tune. I'm going to read lyrics to a Disney song. Please buzz in with the correct title of the song. Scheherazade had 1,000 tales, but master you in luck, 'cause up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic that never fails.
Emma? This is a total guess. Shoot, what's the song called? I've Got Friends on the Other Side.
From Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
That is incorrect. All right. That was a pop century. So the All-Stars, Kylie, Mom, take a stab at it.
Are you able to read it one more time?
Yeah. No. Scheherazade had 1,000 tales, but master you in luck, 'cause up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic that never fails.
Something from Aladdin. Friend Like Me.
Correct. The Genie song. Oh, yes. There you go. 2 points to the All-Stars. Name That Tune. Question 2. If you act like that bee acts, you're working too hard. And don't spend your time looking around for something you want that can't be found. If you act like that BX, you're working too hard. And don't spend your time looking around for something you want that can't be found.
Kylie? Bare Necessities?
Correct. From The Jungle Book, there we go. 2 more points for the All-Stars. Name That Tune. Question 3. But they dote and swoon and fawn on a lady who's withdrawn. It's she who holds her tongue who gets a man.
Kylie? Belle.
Incorrect. Dang. All right, Emma and Dad Terrace here. But they dote and swoon and fawn on a lady who's withdrawn. It's she who holds her tongue who gets a man.
From Cinderella?
I don't know.
Song names. I think it's the song from Cinderella. The one that, I don't know.
Okay, this is probably not right, but it's the only song I can think of, and now it's in my head going to those words. So, this is probably wrong. Is it True Love's Kiss from Enchanted?
No, it's Poor Unfortunate Souls from The Little Mermaid. She who holds our tongue, who gets her man.
Okay. Wow, I can't believe we missed that.
All right.
Yeah, I should have got that one.
We're over to question 4. No points there on Name That Tune. Although you can't see it, you know they are smiling each time someone shows that he cares. Although you can't see it, you know they are smiling each time someone shows that he cares.
Kylie.
Yep.
How do you know from Enchanted?
No, you're on an Enchanted kick. Incorrect.
Yeah, okay. What is it? Although
you can't see it, you know they are smiling each time someone shows that he cares.
I'm not going to tell you.
Although you can't see it, you know they're smiling.
Is it from, what was that movie that you literally like?
I don't think you're allowed to help each other.
We can collaborate.
Yeah.
We're on it
because I got it wrong.
Kylie answered incorrectly.
That has the Inside Out.
There's not, like...
There's no songs in that.
No.
Okay.
Although you can't see it, you know they are smiling each time someone shows that he
cares. Can I answer again?
Is that from Mary Poppins?
Wait.
Is that from Mary Poppins?
Yeah. Yeah. What is it?
Oh, my gosh.
Shoot. What's the song called? It's...
Poppins. No.
It's right after that text.
The next
cares.
Words.
Feed the birds.
All right, there we go. Feed the birds. All right, because we're all in such a good mood and it's Father's Day.
Thank you.
It's Father's Day, everybody. I have to help out Dad Terrace a little bit.
How about Disney Sports?
Last question in the Name That Tune round. Fate is kind.
Emma.
Fate is kind.
When you wish upon a star. Sorry.
There you go. Three words is all it took.
Wow.
Good job.
Good for you.
All right. After Name That Tune, our final score after that one is 19 to 12.
Man, we really miss Ben.
Ben was a help. I have a short 3-question rapid fire, and the category is... Name that land.
Oh, no.
I'm going to name an attraction. I need you to buzz in with the particular land that attraction's located in. Again, you have to be more specific than the theme park. For example, if I said Expedition Everest, the correct answer is Asia, not Animal Kingdom. All right, question number 1. Test track.
Kylie. Future World.
Correct. Future World in Epcot. There we go. Question number 2. Rock and Roller Coaster.
Kylie?
Yep.
Sunset Boulevard?
Correct. In Hollywood Studios. Last but not least here, Luigi's Rollickin' Roadsters.
Kylie? Cars Land? Is that what it's called?
Correct.
Dang it.
Wow.
All right. We're still playing for pride. We are at our final question of the day. The final question category. The teams can wager any or all of their points for this round. We've got 25 points for the All-Stars and 12 points for the Pop Centuries. You make your wagers after you learn the category. And today, our final question category is theme park numbers. Theme park numbers. I will say no math is involved with these numbers, but that is the category. So we will make those wagers and be back with you in a moment. All right, our final question category, theme park numbers. Here is the question. For reasons we're all keenly aware of, attendance numbers for Disney parks in 2020 were abysmal. However, 2019 numbers were a completely different story, with over 155 million people visiting the Disney theme parks worldwide. From 1 to 4, rank the Walt Disney World theme parks from highest 2019 attendance at number 1 to lowest 2019 attendance at number 4. Our teams have had a moment to discuss and make their wagers. Let's go ahead and hear from the All-Stars first, who played a really great game ended up finishing with 25 points before this final category. So what did you say, All-Stars 1 to 4?
Highest, we said Magic Kingdom, then Hollywood Studios, then Epcot, then Animal Kingdom.
And over to the Pop Centuries, what was your list?
We said Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, then Animal Kingdom because of Pandora, and then Epcot.
All right. Well, everybody got number one correct. Yes, Magic Kingdom, 21 million visitors, by far the leader here. Actually, though, number two was not Hollywood Studios. Number two was Animal Kingdom with 14 million visitors. Number three, Epcot, 12.5. And maybe surprisingly, number four, I think size kind of has to do with it. And the late opening date of Galaxy's Edge, Hollywood Studios with 11.5. So we didn't have any correct answers there. What were the wagers? Let's go ahead and find out from the Pop Centuries first. What'd you guys wager?
Well, we bet it all.
We wagered it all.
All 26.
So went from went from 12 to 0 on there, but that's all right. Thank you for playing. And did you also risk it all? No reason to, but that would have been interesting, All-Stars.
We wagered one.
Because they're lame.
Well, it was Father's Day, and if you guys would have gotten it, that could have ended with a tie there. So you'll lose 1 point and finish with 24, with a final score of 24-0. The All-Stars, Kylie and Mom Terrace, are the winners of our tiebreaker. Congratulations.
Way to go, Kylie.
And thanks for playing, everybody. We are departing for Disney in 16 hours, so we've got some packing to do.
5 a.m. sharp.
Yep. If you want to see pictures, make sure you're following us on social media at Diz Daydream, like the Disney Daydream podcast on Facebook. And we'll be filming. We will talk to you very soon. And when you hear this episode, we'll probably be chilling at Old Key West Resort, having lunch at Olivia's, hanging out by the pool. So we will talk to you in a bit, and that's going to do it for this episode of the Disney Daydream Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it and that you'll join us for the next one. Remember, be kind to one another and take the time to find a magical moment in each and every day.